Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. I'm here on a Friday night doing one more Gear Garage Live Show, and we have a bunch of questions, so I'm just going to get started. I just noticed my audio is a little funny, so I'm going to start to switch that. Tell me if this is better. I think people that do a lot of rafters spend so much time loading their stuff. Oh, no, you can't hear me. What's going on? Okay, let's go back to this. Is this better? So I think some people spend so much time just packing the stuff in their truck to leave for home, getting to the river, unloading it out of their truck, into their raft. And then everybody at the camp, you're spending so much time like getting out of your raft up to camp, it's setting it all up. You don't get to just relax and enjoy it. So I'm a fan. People bring way too much stuff. And I see it on the Middle Fork all the time. You know, boats are just overloaded with heavy duty chairs and big time tents and all kinds of stuff. So I'm with you. I think people bring too much stuff. Just my opinion. The graph shows how boaters decide the amount of stuff they bring on a multi-day trip. The X-axis is the amount of gear, measuring the weight, bulkiness you bring. And the y-axis is how comfortable you are. I realize there are many other variables that determine gear comfort. This is an oversimplification. The peak of each line is a sweet spot where you brought enough stuff to be comfy, but not so much that it's a burden. The line is subjective to each person, but I drew my interpretation of the average boater. My opinion is shown as the yellow line. Okay, I think this is the next slide has this. This kind of makes sense. And so it says, bottom. Zach, where do you fall in this graph? What do you leave at home that others typically bring? That's a big question. So I my history is kayaking, living out of my kayak, doing self-support trips, and I just bring. So when you're kayaking, sometimes you don't even bring a pad. And so I'm more towards the kayaker line. When I'm multi-day guiding, I bring one dry bag, one water shed. I know some multi-day guides bring two or three bags. A big thing I joke about with our guides is pairs, a number of pairs of shoes. That's a symbol of how much stuff you bring. So I usually bring river shoes, hiking shoes, and some sort of camp shoe, like a sandal or something just light and simple in camp. So three shoes to me is like actually kind of nice. Actually, it's excessive. But I've been with guides who bring six pairs of shoes. They bring like tall boots to walk in the water when it's cold. They bring slippers for their tent, or just they bring a couple pair of camp shoes. You know, I've seen, I think number of shoes like gives all this away. Also the pad use, I'm super happy with their breast. And I think a lot of people have to have their big pocket pad, which is, there's like pocket pads, there's big pocket pads. Cots are becoming a thing, really fancy tents that take a long time to set up. For me personally, I guess you're asking about what I do. I sleep outside and I have like a really small tent that I can put up in case it rains. Just simple, small tent. It's not spacious. It's just something to sleep in if it rains. And one dry bag. That's pretty much it. If I'm going on a private trip, I'll bring pretty minimal stuff because I just want to get to camp, like lay down my sleeping bag and hang out. I don't want to set up a ton of things in the morning, take a ton of things down. So hopefully that answers your question. So I would say I'm more like, I'm probably in between you and the kayakers on a rafting trip. If I'm rafting, I'm not going to go as light as I'm kayaking, but I'm pretty simple and light. Like I said, one dry bag, maybe a Ponco pad. I'm not going to bring my Ponco pad, but there's an extra one, I'll use it. But like light therm rest, keep it simple. Okay, modern whitewater pack wraps. Hey, Zach, hope this the start of the reading season is going well. I'm a whitewater kayaker looking to do more self-support trips in the future. I have been considering pack rafts as an alternative option to carrying 80 pounds of kayak and gear on hikes in or while portaging. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know there's a definite drawback versus the hard shell, but newer boats, Valkyrie and Mage, seem like they're getting a little closer to hard shell experience without the weight and restraints and pain of carrying. I don't think I'll ever give up kayaking for pack rafting, but I was curious to see if you ever tried a pack raft and what your thoughts might be utilizing them and enjoying them versus the hard shell. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, I mean, I think pack rafts are cool. I think I haven't paddled the Valkyrie, but I'm interested, actually, especially as we get older and it's harder to carry a kayak. My big thing with pack rafts is if you're using them for something like the Grand Canyon, to me that just seems insanely stupid because you can drive to the put-in and you're not portaging. So why would you pack raft the Grand Canyon? Like, for me, pack rafts are a tool for runs you're hiking into, or like you mentioned here, like a bunch of portages. Like there's some really cool places you can go paddling where there's just a ton of portaging, and it's kind of nice to have a light boat. So for me, you know, if I'm going to do the Chetco or some exploratory creek in the Kalmiopsis, or hike, there's just so many cool runs you can hike into. You know, it's just a 2 mile hike into it. In California, there's a bunch. Here in Oregon, there's a bunch. I think things like the Valkyrie are super cool. And the Valkyrie, for those who don't know, is a pack raft. It's shaped like a kayak that acts kind of like a kayak, and you can roll it. And if I could afford one, I'd probably get one to play with. They're pretty expensive. I don't know what the Mage is, but if you're just going to get a pack raft to do the Clackamas, the South Fork of the American, just normal stuff, that doesn't make any sense to me, because even a ducky is going to perform better. Maybe the Valkyrie might perform better than a ducky, but hard shelling, the performance is just going to be better. It's just a better boat. But again, like if you're going to do a bunch of portaging or hiking in, I think pack rafts are great for that. A great tool for doing that. I haven't done a ton of pack rafting. I've done a little bit. I personally prefer, I have some of the air back rafts because they only weigh a pound or two more and they perform really well. So I've used the air back rafts a ton, which are just super light duckies. Now that they stopped making the back raft, I could see using the back rafts for sure. Sean says, I got lighter, but I'm in love with my cot. Sleep out, small tents, case of rain. Yeah, cots are cool. Yeah, I mean, there's new lightweight cots. To me, it's just one more thing to set up and take down. You know, I want to get to camp and enjoy camp. I want to go for a hike. I don't want to get to camp and spend 45 minutes setting up a tent, putting all the poles together for the cot. I just want to enjoy the place. And so I don't, and then in the morning, I have to take the cot apart and put it away. It's just one more thing to deal with. So I'm not really personally into cots, especially when I work trips. I set up a ton of cots because we offer a fancy camping package on our trips. So I set a lot of cots and tents up. So I just don't want to do it, you know, my days off. Okay. All right. Next question. Hopefully I answered that question. Yeah. Cool. My basic answer this question. Yeah. I mean, if you need a pack raft, cool. But if you're just going to buy it to pack raft, like stuff you can drive in and drive out of, I think they're kind of silly. What's your opinion of the NRS Niso helmet? I've never even heard of it. Let's look it up. NRS. I've never heard of this. NRS Niso helmet. Here's this. It's designed for whitewater. I mean, I have no idea. Let's see if I can find it on the website. So, here we go. I mean, it's a helmet. I was just guiding some trips and rest helmets, and all the, I don't know if you guys see my cursor, is these little adjusters in the back were all broken. And I was, we couldn't get replacements. Like, it was in Bhutan, so you can't just like take them back to NRS and get new ones. So there's, you know, over there we have like half the helmets have these broken buckles. So personally, I'm not a fan of NRS helmets. I'm not. This looks so, I mean, it's a helmet. It's minimal. It probably fits your head. It's a helmet. But I'm not, I don't think it's that protective, honestly, in that quality. It's going to break. I mean, it's on sale 20% off. There's probably a reason an already cheap helmet's on sale. That's just my take. So let's get back to your question here. My head's too big for sweep protection white water helmets, and then NISA comes in extra large. Yeah, I mean, that's a reason. I'm pretty sure that this, I'm just guessing the NISO helmet is part of the Whitewater, the WRSI. So NRS bought WRSI, which is a helmet company, and then they made them into NRS helmets. I think they got rid of the WRSI brand. So I'm guessing, just guessing, this could not be a fact, it could be a guess. I'm just guessing the NEMO rates similarly to other WRSI helmets on the Virginia Tech Helmet Study, which is also, like, with that study, some people think that study is just wrong. So take it or leave it. But I have a big head too. Look at this big melon. Like, I look really funny. Like, when I put on some of the helmets, I look like a stormtrooper because I have such a big head and the helmets look small. But if you can't fit a sweet protection helmet, and it's the only helmet that fits your head and it's comfortable and you'll wear it, like, I don't know, like, that's what you got. But my advice to everybody, the sweet helmets, they're comfortable, they look cool, they're protective. If you can fit your head in a sweet protection, I would go with that personally. All right, let's see, here's another comment. My main salmon last year, I was the group gear boat. I was the biggest boat, but might consider starting to gear out even the weight of heavier boats. Sorry, maybe I can't read, but I'm going to try to read this again. On the main salmon last year, comma, I was the group gear boat. Got that. I was the biggest boat, but might consider starting gear out to even the weight out of heavier boats. Aren't an issue. Fire the water level. I'm sorry. I just don't understand. Maybe I can't read. And I can't comprehend. I just don't understand what you're saying. All right. Wetsuit separates. I've been involved in two rescue situations where the swimmer had issues involving their wetsuit bottoms being pulled down by the water as they swam. Have you heard of instances like this? Would you consider it a safety consideration when purchasing cold weather gear? So if you're wearing a Farmer John wetsuit, this shouldn't be a problem. I think this is pants. You're talking about wetsuit pants. And you're saying that people's wetsuit pants were pulled down and that they, like, wrapped around their ankles. That's what I'm guessing is going on here. And that's not good. You want to be able to swim. And there's actually a fatality in Japan where somebody's wearing shorts over their wetsuit and the shorts went down to their ankles. They couldn't swim and they died. So you really want to be able to swim. So I would say, I haven't seen this happen. It's crazy. You've been in two situations. But if you're wearing wetsuit pants, you want to make sure they're tight so they don't come down. I wear wetsuit pants occasionally. I really like them. Honestly, I really think they're a nice thing to do for cold weather where it's not so cold. I don't want to wear a dry suit if I don't have to. So a lot of times on cold days, if I can get away with it, I'll wear wetsuit pants and like a jacket or like a wetsuit top separately. I never even thought there was a possibility. I think a couple of things you can do is, one, like, there's the wetsuit pants have a drawstring, so just like tighten them every time. Shorts over them. I think if they have, like, keep them on if also they're tight. Like, a lot of shorts have, like, a belt you can tighten or, like, tie something. Basically, I guess, I mean, this really points out that you want them tight because that's a pretty serious hazard where your shorts or your wetsuit bottoms get wrapped around your ankles because you can't swim. But I've only heard of the one example in Japan of somebody's shorts coming down. All right, winter day trips. Hello, I'm a private boater and I live in Salem. I was wanting to know about any recommended rafting day trips to row around the Oregon, Lower Washington, specifically during off-season and late fall or winter. Yeah, there's a ton. This is Oregon. We have so much boating in the winter. It's ridiculous. I'm going to, first of all, I want to go to my website, Whitewater Guidebook. I've written a ton of descriptions of rivers. So here's my state, Oregon. I mean, here is a whole list of rivers. Most of these, here's Northern Oregon, Willamette Valley, closer to you, Columbia Gorge, where I live, pretty much all of this runs in the winter. In Southern Oregon, I haven't boated much near Salem, so I don't have a lot of descriptions of like the sand demon things. I mean, I think the Brighton Brush is near Salem, but here's a lot of places to boat. And I wrote a blog post, let me see if I can find it. I'm going to Google Whitewater Guidebook, rowing. I wrote a Whitewater Guidebook. Oh, let's do Oregon. Oh. Can't find it. I wrote a progression, like where to go from, like what river to the next river, in Oregon. Here's a California rowing progression that I wrote. But there's also somewhere in Oregon, some on the website too, but I can't figure out how to Google it. Just probably really enjoy it. Oh, here we go. Northwest Cataract Progression. This is it right here. So Google River Safety Northwest Cataract Progression. These are a lot of runs from like easier to harder in Oregon that you can do in the winter. So like the Rogue, of course, it runs all winter. The Lower Hood, where I live in the river, the Clackamas is a winter run. The Hood from Tucker, the whole white salmon in Southern Washington runs all winter. The Umpqua, I'm not sure about because I don't live down there. The Upper Klickitat can get snowed in, so maybe not. The Malala is a great winter run. It's like class 3 and a couple of class 4s. The West Fork of the Hood, Illinois, Upper Klamath. But there's a bunch more. So, again, I'd send you to this here. And this is just a bunch of description I've written of different places you can go. And then also just get like Soggy Sneakers. It's a book about rafting in Oregon, kayaking in Oregon. It has a ton of descriptions too. So hopefully that helps. Dories and trip boats. I'm thinking about getting a small 12-foot brig style dory to raft the Oregon rivers like Oahu Lower D Rogue. I'm an experienced rafter in all these rivers. I think a dory would be something new and fun. However, I'm not sure that what I don't know that I don't know. All right, here's a bunch of questions. Well, let me give my first impressions. Dories are kind of cool. They're really designed for bigger volume rivers. So when it gets rocky, I'm not sure that's ideal for dories. I think if you hit rocks, it's bad. Like the Grand Canyon is great. There's not many rocks. That's why dories are amazing in the Grand Canyon. Like the Maine salmon, high water Maine salmon, or I think the Middle Fork of high water, sometimes they take them. They're pretty limited though, because they're designed for big water. If it's shallow, rocky rivers, which most rivers are, they're not the best. Also, like owning a dory means they're expensive. You have to have a trailer, you have to have a place to store it. Getting it to put in and take out requires, you know, just one boat per trailer. You know, one of the things on the Middle Fork that's becoming an issue at takeout is that, you know, as commercial outfitters, we have 30-person trips, usually with one truck and trailer at the takeout. We're seeing a lot of private trips with like 12 people on them and 9 trucks and trailers. And so the takeout of the Middle Fork in particular, and the Rogue, I'm sure it's happening too, is just everybody has their own boat, their own trailer, and their own truck. Where historically, people shared vehicles. So they'd stack 3 boats and drive out to the Middle Fork. Now everybody's driving their own truck and has their own whole setup and everything. Pumps their boats up and put in. You don't have to like have it rigged at their house when they leave. And so a dory is like that too. You have to have your own truck and trailer to put in and take out. So it's just logistically really hard. It's a lot of work. And then if you break it on the river, what do you want to fix it? It's just hard. There's a reason people aren't doing it. Anyway, let me get to your, sounds like my audio is messed up. I'm sorry. I'm gonna do the best I can with audio right now. I'm on a Wi-Fi that I'm not sure is good. Okay, so here's your questions. What should I be thinking about in this devious, so swap my raft for dory? what's devious in this devious I don't know. You should just be thinking about it, things I just mentioned. It breaking on the river, you fixing it, and transportation. Where are you going to store it at your house? Do you have a warehouse to put it? Do you have a trailer for it? Do you have a truck? All that stuff. How will it impact group dynamics if I'm with the group rafts? Well, if you hit a rock and you have to make everybody wait for 3 hours while you fix it, it will be frustrating. Yeah, that would be frustrating. I'm guessing they move it. Like, you know, it's no different than, you know, rafts and a cataract move at different speeds, or kayakers. There's going to be a different speed on the river. You have to kind of adjust to that. My assumption is they're faster, more maneuverable than a 14-foot raft. I have no idea. I mean, 14-foot raft is pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Which should mean they're easier to keep out of danger. Sure, I have no idea. I've never rode a dory, so I'm not, I mean, I'm going to do my best to answer these questions. I just have friends that run dories and hear their stories, and I know what a pain it is to store and transport and put them into the river and take them out. Or at least recover from late moves or mistakes. Rafts are so forgiving. So there's a reason we all use rafts. Getting them unstuck first raft. I'm guessing harder because it's a dory. It's not like rafts. You know, if you get a raft stuck in rocks, the raft can form the rocks a little bit. You let some air out, get off. A dory is just sort of stuck. And if you wrap it, you are in big trouble. What other skills do I need to build? Right away, I'm thinking about getting down the fish ladder on the rope versus the raft. You know, for the rogue, I think so. The dories are descendant of the Mackenzie drift boat. So if you're, I would not bring it during the rogue. It's just not high volume enough. It's too rocky. It's just not designed for that. Again, they're designed for the Grand Canyon, higher volume. So I just don't think it's a good boat. I think it's, yeah, I think if you want to get a boat for the rogue or for rivers around here, the Mackenzie drift boat, that's what Prince Helfrich designed. He ran all kinds of creeks and rivers in his drift boat. I'd probably go Mackenzie drift boat, like what the Helfriches use, over the dory. It's designed for that. And they go down the fish ladder all the time. I think they line them though. I don't think they row the fish ladder. I think they get ropes out, line them at certain flows. What other skills you need to build? I don't know. Just be good at rowing, get practice. I would take it out a lot on class two. Again, they're not as forgiving. You hit a rock hard, you put a hole in it. And yet, it's not like a hole in a raft where you just put some terry on it. It's like you gotta do some carpentry to fix it. I presume I'll have to line it down versus just bumping my way down. I've already gotten over that. It's going to get banged up, so I'm not worried about cosmetic scars. I mean, I there's cosmetic scars. I wouldn't be worried about that either. I'd be worried about putting a hole in it. I keep mentioning that. Like, or sinking it. You know, people sink drift boats on the rogue. I'd be more worried about coffee pot on the rogue and Mill Creek Canyon. Because on a raft, you can hit a wall and bounce off. You mess up in a drift boat or a dory, you can break it or sink it. So I'm mostly worried about trip dynamics. What do you think? The other trip dynamics part, like I mentioned earlier, is just getting it to the put-in. And you by yourself probably can't launch it. So it's like, hey, guys, it's me. I'm the guy with the big truck and the trailer and this weird boat. Can everybody come over here and help me carry this heavy thing down to the river? And then you get to take out. Oh, can everybody stop what you're doing and help me put this big, heavy thing back on the trailer? I think about rowing schools I do where somebody has like a big, you know, we do the rowing schools in Hood River, and some people have light boats. We can get them down the river really easy. Once in a while, somebody has like a big, heavy boat with a massive frame, and they have boxes and bags. And, you know, if you have a light, small boat, a couple of people get that and put it. But if you have that whole massive boat, it's like everybody has to like work together to pull this heavy thing in the river. And so if your friends are supportive of helping you carry your heavy thing to the river and take out doing it, that's great. But if you're going to people you don't know, like if I see a dory, if I'm going to go on the Clackamas, for example, and I see a dory, I'm just like, oh, dude, come on. Like, the put-ins and takeouts of the Clackamas aren't just trailers down the river. You just back the trailer down and launch it. It involves carrying. So I would think about being on the river, but just launching it, taking it out. Okay. One last comment. A suggestion for your shows. I have to remember something from a show and want to go back 6 months later to watch it again. However, it's impossible to figure out which video I need to go back to. If show notes were available, searching would be simple. Another benefit, it's great to need to drive views and memberships to YouTube search. The easy button is to take the transcript that YouTube creates, throw it in a ChatGPT, and ask it to create a long form show notes. The paste is back in the description. I don't think YouTube, I just do this for, it's a hobby for fun. This isn't something I'm not like trying to always build subscribers and memberships. I do like subscribers and memberships, don't get me wrong. It's like an ego thing. But like, this is a part-time hobby for me. So I'm not an expert at how to do all the behind the scenes YouTube stuff, but I'm pretty sure YouTube does not create a transcript. I'm pretty sure. And I Googled it when I saw this note, just quickly Googled, does YouTube create a transcript, and didn't get an answer. So I don't think it's that easy. We do create, go back here. We do our best though. So on Whitewater Guidebook, these, you know, this is a video meant as a live video show. That's what it's meant as. But a lot of people can't watch it live, right? Like, we're now at 6 o'clock on Friday. Like, I don't know. There's probably better things to do than watch the show. But we do make it a podcast because people ask, like, hey, we just want the audio to listen to, which I think is weird because, well, maybe, I don't know. I just think, I don't think it's meant as a video podcast. But if you click on an episode of Whitewater Guidebook, it has a page about it. And you can listen to it here. You can listen to it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, whatever. We put a link to the video, and then we put the questions here. So I don't put the answers, but like sometimes, or like links. So we do create a page about it on the internet. We do our best to do it because it you know, this takes time. And it turns out the way that the website works, it limits how long this post can be. So we do the best we can. So you can, if you search Google instead of YouTube, you'll find this page. So let's say, like, I'm just giving you an example. Let's say you wanted to hear Gear Garage talk about fold, which is weather boating, which is a question I get a lot. And people like have to answer every few weeks, right? And so, well, it didn't come up. Anyway, Gear Garage. Well, maybe it's because I'm in another country and I'm using a different. Let's change the questions. Here we go. Gear Garage. Like, yeah. So, I mean, here's an answer where AI took what I talked about and put the answer out. But I bet there's a link. No, there's not. That's weird. No. Well, anyway, I think. If you do your best to Google these things, Google might have the answer for you. But I don't think I can create the thing you're talking about without a lot of work. And unfortunately, this is a side hobby for me. So we'll look into it. We'll look into it. But I can't make promises. See Sean saying, I agree, it's hard to find the specific show I'll reference later unless the title has the subject. Yeah, the title, we don't write very good titles. And again, I make videos. So like, I make videos to answer questions. That's when I'm like in my garage, put the camera on, I talk about a thing. Those are meant to be like reference later. This YouTube live show is just intended to just answer questions live. If people have a question, I can answer live so they can listen and ask follow-up questions, or other people can help answer. So some people, you know, the nice thing about the live show, this isn't intended to be education as much as give you my best answer and allow people who are watching to watch it live. So anyway, I'll look into it. I'll see if we can do it easily, but I don't think YouTube creates a transcript. One more question. Let me see. I need a picture. I have a cataract and it has a flat front. I'm scared of dead on rock hit. A drip boat will roll off a rock. I don't really understand this. I guess I'm really sorry. I think I might just be dumb. Like, I can't read. I can't read that well, but I have a cataract that has a flat front. I'm scared of dead on rock hit. You shouldn't be scared to hit rocks. And I mean, I hit rocks all the time. Now, I popped a boat this year, but like, it's normal to hit rocks. And so don't be scared in a rubber boat to hit rocks. Like, and I use rocks all the time to make moves. If you're in a drift boat, you should be scared to hit rocks. That's for sure. Drippo will roll off a rock. I don't think a Drippo will roll off a rock. I've seen Drippos wrap. I've seen Drippos sink. I've seen Drippos get holes. I've seen people burn their Drippo because it just broke. They had to burn it by the side of the river. So they're not here late, but it's my understanding that a McKenzie River boat, a Drippo is a river dory. I don't understand this either. A McKenzie Drippo was the original river running boat that was designed in Oregon for the McKenzie River, for a shallowish river, and for fishing. A drift boat is a river dory. A dory, I don't think a drift boat is a river dory. A dory, and my knowledge of this is from reading that Kevin Federico book, I forget the name of it, about dories, basically. The Martin Litton invented the dory for the Grand Canyon. And he based it on the McKenzie Drippo. But he wanted, like, the McKenzie Drippo is designed for smaller rivers and rocky rivers. Martin Litton took that design, tweaked it a little bit, and made a boat designed for the Grand Canyon. So it's a specific tool for a specific river. So I think it works really well in the Grand Canyon. I just talked to some people who did a dory trip. They just thought it was the coolest thing ever. It sounded awesome. But I think it's very specific to that river. So if you want a dory, most people are buying it for the Grand Canyon or other rivers when they're big. I wouldn't buy it to just go boating. That's a longer answer to what I said before. Okay, I think we're done with this show. Thank you everybody for watching. We'll probably get on a regular schedule here pretty soon. I just saw a question just came in. That's so crazy. I was my email blinked. Somebody asked me a question. Or maybe not. Oh, wait, let's see. High flow PFTs. I just came in, but we'll answer that question next week. Thanks everybody for watching, and see you in a week or so.